Okay, we're going to go ahead and call the meeting, regular meeting of the Georgetown Divide Public Utility District, November 12th, Tuesday, 2 p.m. to order. Let's go ahead and do a roll call, please, for the agenda.
Hi.
Hi.
Director Garcia.
Here.
Director Halpin.
Here.
Director Saunders.
Here.
Director Souza.
Here.
Director Wadley.
Here. Great. So I'll do the Pledge of Allegiance, please. Director Halpin, would you lead us?
Sure. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item number two, we'll do adoption of the agenda. Motion to adopt the agenda, please.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, motion and a second. We have a. Are you ready for a roll call, please?
Okay. Director Garcia.
Aye.
Director Halpin.
Aye.
Director Saunders.
Aye.
Director Souza.
Aye.
Director Wadley.
Aye. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Item number three, public forum. So this is a time for any public comments on anything that's not on the agenda. Again, we'll have public comments for each item that's on the agenda. Karen, please come up.
I live in Auburn Lake Trails. During the power outage and afterwards, there was a lot of confusion and questions about how to manage our septic systems. And I started seeing comments about two kinds of systems, gravity or pump, and I didn't know what I have because I think there's a pump and it goes downhill then to the backyard and up to another mound, so there's two mounds. What to do about that? Someone suggested we manually turn a switch in the box to put it on manual before the outage, and I didn't know if that's really what we're supposed to be doing. Let's see, when the power came back on, alarms were going off on people's septics, and some didn't know what to do. One woman didn't know where her box was. Others reported leaking under their lid on their tanks. So I don't know how we're supposed to know the level of water that's in the tank and how much we need to conserve the amount of water that we are putting down the drain. I was very conservative. I was hand washing dishes and putting all the water in a bucket and dumping it outside. I was being I was taking fewer showers, flushing the toilet less because I didn't know how much the tank could hold, and I was hearing about backups. And so we need to be educated about it, and I'm hoping you can answer the questions. I wasn't allowed to make copies at the front desk, but I wanted you to have them as a guideline to do some kind of information sheet that could be mailed to the customers on septic so they know what to do before the next power outage happens. So I have no idea. I don't want to monkey with things that I don't know about. So I'd like to get the facts from here and not from Facebook. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else? Public comments? Seeing none? Okay. We'll move on to item number four, proclamations, presentations from El Dorado County Water Agency. Mr. Payne's here. Steve, do you want to do an introduction on this? Or
Adam.
Or Adam, or sorry.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Adam, yeah.
It's fine. Yeah, I'm Youngshun and Ken here to present the Water Resource Development Management Plan that's been prepared last year or so. So we have a presentation for them. Get the projector going here.
I'll move.
So while that's setting up, my name is Ken Payne. I'm the general manager for El Dorado County Water Agency, and I just realized this is probably the first presentation I've made at your board. So this document that we're going to go over, we're going to kind of give a high-level overview of what it is. But as the general manager for the water agency, our mission is to do long-term planning for the county, throughout the county. And so one of the purposes and primary objectives of this document was to start outlining some of the priorities that we would have in the county, and then identify what the role of the water agency, whether we're a lead, help to facilitate, you know, some of the agencies are short on resources to help move things forward, or to just support efforts that are going on within the county by some of our members. And so this document is a pretty comprehensive document. Historically, it was just used to take Georgetown's water demands, take EID's water demands, take Placerville's, and we just sum it up for a $300,000 report that sat there. Well, that's not in our interest. That's not in anyone's interest. So this plan was reformatted to go ahead and address some of the priorities and roles and responsibilities that we have. I've asked Dr. Sun to come and give the presentation. He helped facilitate a lot of the work that's been going on during this past year. Georgetown has been very active in this process with us, and we appreciate that role. So I'll turn it over to Dr. Sun.
My name is Yongxian Sun, and call me Yongxian. Skip the doctor part. You know, you stay in school long enough, you get a PhD. That's a rule. So, and so, yeah, next please. And so, today I think we'll just, I know you're short in time, so we'll go to this relatively quickly. Like Ken was saying, that this plan, we actually reformatted it to actually provide a little bit more context and also the purpose. And so what we are laying out this when we started is that to support the realizing the vision of the County General Plan. The County General Plan laid out a vision about the what will be the developed in the county, stay in the rural agricultural kind of the lifestyles, with some of the urbanization on the west side and so on and so forth. All those things that are actually encapsulated in the general plan, including environmental protection. So it's actually a pretty good plan. So the agency was actually taking upon us that how we make that general planning can be realized in this particular matter. And then the other part is that we're trying to promote the integrated water management approach for countywide benefit and resilience. What we have seen right now is that a statewide or you know, all the water management is starting to, all the different issues are linked together. So the single purpose approach, that doesn't really apply anymore. And then you want to think about a little bit broader so you can leverage the efforts and the energy to deal with all those challenges. And the third part is that this is actually even more important. This one is actually, it's defined to be a policy plan. That's why we try to keep it very concise and to provide a policy guidance for the agency, the future investment and action to support this, all this activity, and especially in terms of the roles and responsibility, and that I will explain that a little bit more. In October 9th, you guys remember that's the when the power outage, and then we still go ahead to adopt the plans and policy because we want to do it. So the plan itself, this is just a context of that, the five different chapters, and then the first part is about why we're doing this and why we feel the need that we align with the agency's authority and so on and so forth, look at this plan differently. And then the second chapter, we're looking at who's actually responsible for El Dorado County. The agency are looking for the what can be added value in this whole county, not necessarily trying to do other repeat that other people are doing, but looking at what is actually can provide additional value in that way. The third part is looking at the water resource related challenges as a whole for the county, on the county aspect, and that leading to the chapter number four, basically collaborated with all the different agencies. We start to define some of the broad strategy for resources management and also who's going to do what. The last chapter basically go back to the agency, how the agency will organize themselves to support the implementation. Next one. And because that is important to the part of the integrated water management is actually to have the integrated work with the agency collaboration. This is very important. So we developed three different advisory groups to help us put the plan together, and then some of them also focus on some of the technical details as well. We have the plan advisory group and the ag advisory group, because the ag is actually a big component of this county, and the AMI advisory group basically looking at how we handle this particular issue. And so, like Adam was talking about that, we actually quite intensive throughout the whole year, with especially a plan advisory group. We meet almost every month. We look at what's in the content of this report, and we actually collectively amend it, edit it, and fix what we wanted to do. And the and so I notice you probably cannot see this. This is just that we want to acknowledge a lot of people participate in this in this effort, including you know, the your agency and Adam particularly in this particular matter to make this happen as well. So let's go down to the a little bit, and then this is really at the wake of the agency will wanted to kind of rebranding themselves in a way. In the past, that the agency was not really exercising all the authority that it actually has in under the their act, and also there are some implementation part of the concern that we were trying to improve at this particular point. So what we are potentially doing is looking at this is in the chapter 2 of that plan. This was laid out that who's actually doing what in this particular county, and then this is where I mentioned that the agency basically asking a question that, so the agency want to do something more, what would be the better for the county residents as a whole? And then the and then when we're talking about the align with the county general plan has a basic of the land use and then zoning ordinance and on top of other policy and so on and so forth. What we also looking at are working with the planning to translating that general plan, what does it mean in terms of the water in that way? How the water will be used and where you can use it for what purpose in that particular way? And then because of what that Ken was mentioned earlier, the agency was looking at the long term, not about urban water management plans or any of those shorter plans. We're looking at the long term to see that do we have enough water or do we have enough water at the right place to support what the general plan is saying. And so the what we actually, this is one of the earlier thing map that we sorted out, and then this is getting a lot of traction. This is actually depicted the challenge that we have. If you look at, I know it's a little bit fuzzy right here. If you look at the west side of the county, we just talked about West Slope right now. All those color blocks are basically that general plan has some designated use for it. And then you're looking at the current various different water purveyor agencies boundary, which is outlined by the black line. And then you automatically start to looking at, okay, so we have some sort of idea for those areas, but we don't have an active water supply to manage in those areas. So how will you reconcile this particular matter? So that's starting to get a lot of people's attention, because that is probably maybe, we never really look at this way before.
This is an important graphic, because when we're dealing with the federal and state legislators and the regulatory environment, for a large part, the regulations are built along for M&I for areas that are more like a Roseville or Sacramento, and then you get into the ag demands management, it's built for large corporate ag. El Dorado County, like a lot of the Mountain County areas, are primarily rural ag, and we've had, Steve or Adam have been, their struggle is always adapting those rules to the rural ag environment that don't really. So this presents a venue for us to have those discussions on a state and federal level on it, coming attention to this characteristic of the rural ag community like we are.
Yeah. Next one, please. And then, so this is another part. I think the fire is actually in everybody's mind, especially, PG&E shut down power this year. And then so on the left-hand side, which is showing that the state put out the fire hazard map, that's not the risk, that's just hazard. And then you immediately notice a couple of things. There's a lot of white space. Those are federal lands. They don't have equivalent information out there either. So it's just very bizarre when you start putting all the different layers together. And then on the right-hand side is actually some California PUC, the map they put out. This is actually a risk associated with the utility file. That was actually a risk map. So we kind of were putting all this thing together. We started looking at some certain area that in the county that more maybe more at risk in terms of this type of issue. But then we're looking at is how do we handle it? Because the fire is more or less a symptom, not necessarily the cause of it. And then so the management strategy would need to start looking at the cause in terms of the watershed management, forest management, and the other side of the matter to actually work on this particular issue as well. That was an example just of what kind of the landscape that we actually look at, how big, how broad we actually look at. And then we look at from the agency's viewpoint on the water supply, water quality, and then public safety is basically flooding viewpoint. We do some of the assessment, gross assessment regarding the level of challenge on the West Slope and also on the Tahoe Basin side of it. And with this, I know I'm going through very quick right now. And then you go downward. We develop in the middle part basically is a very different broad resource management strategy that to come actually develop the activity that can actually address the issue. And those activity actually meant to the reason that we have all those plan coordination meeting is that it's not just agency going to do it. There's a lot of things that actually various different jurisdiction, county, and then other water agency will actually work together in that way, in the mutual respect of the roles and responsibility. At the same time, collectively can move forward in that part. And with that, then leading to the right-hand side, which is the El Dorado County Water Agency, based on the developed the role and responsibility, formulate five different programs for their future operation need in that way. In other words...
Dr. Sir, can I ask you a question?
Yes, sorry.
Can we go back two slides to the one before this one? Your color coding here, there's no legend. Is this color coded for a specific reason?
Yeah, so it's a level of concern. Yes.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
So green would be in a good position?
So we have four different levels, green, yellow, orange, and red.
Okay, great, thank you.
So, so effectively what we actually do is that using this plan as a vehicle to translate the challenge that the county is facing as a whole, and then develop the collaborated resource management strategy, and then in coordinated effort, and then we will make progress, and also agency will have specific action and the that will be implemented in the future. And so the implementation side, because this is adopted as a policy plan, mainly focused on the policy and guidance. What it provided to the agency basically is that, okay, we recognize that this, we're not dictating a lot of the detail regarding specific things that we wanted to do, but we provide a direction that this is what we're trying to accomplish. And then with that, we have five different programs that define some of them focus on the water security, and some of them focus on the governance and the partnership type of things, and the watershed management, and so on and so forth. That will be used for agencies planning for the action and the budgeting purpose as well. And so,
can I ask one more question?
Sure.
Previous slide then, please.
Yeah.
So if you're going to take a look at this, and it's going to be a long-term plan, which is commendable,
yes. Is
it going to be subject to an annual review, or is it going to be subject to meeting certain regulatory requirements,
both? It's not a specific regulatory requirement, but this actually is set up the basis for a lot of different things. And then because of that, the next page, that exactly what this page was for, we figured out that in the past that the agency do this type of plan like once a while, and then but with the things that are changing so fast nowadays that we believe that 5-year update will be necessary. That will actually also alleviate the need that, you know, we're trying to get everything correct, we need the direction, implement it, assess it where we are, and then we can move forward.
So it'd be a living document.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's part of the policy. So that 5-year schedule now is written in the policy itself that the board adopted, so that their staff has no discretion.
Yeah. And the another one I would like to mention, that another policy that we adopted is that the agency will continue to coordinate this type of a collaborative forum and to establish like a county-wide forum for this type of continued discussion that will convene that twice per year in that kind of fashion, just keep that kind of a momentum of a collaboration that we have right now. So then the next page. So I just want to mention that two things that associate with this particular plan. The one is what we already talked about, dynamic and adaptive. The other is a collaboration and cooperation. This is actually critical for this for our success. So the part, this one is really dense. I'm very sorry about this. So when we're looking at it, for example, in terms of the what is the water supply and demand imbalance in that part for the future, and we look at different hydrology, we look at the demand scenario, including all the future regulatory change and so on and so forth. And then we try to implement the latest available tool that we develop in some other process with reclamation. And we kind of bundle them together, give it a little bit view about what is the snapshot in time. But what we actually have talked to board is that this technical information will continue to evolve. And that's why we're not asking them to adopt this part. This is not the point. The point is that what is the status that we have, or what do we do from that point? So this is the we are currently, the agency is working with Reclamation and other agency in the American River Basin. We conduct a basin study. We look at the potential effect on the climate change or climate variability, how that may be affecting our future water supply. And so we're using the projection all the way to the end of century. Granted that this type of analysis has a lot of uncertainty involved, so it's more of important you look at what the trend it may be, not necessarily exactly the number. You look at the change of that, all those bubbles that representing the volume of the water that may be realized in the watershed. And the first line, it was actually historic data, which is what we have right now. People typically thinking about in the May time, that was the snowmelt were coming down, and then that was the regular spring flow. And then with the forecast information hydrology that we're looking at is that, and it would jump to the last one, the end of century, you see huge amount of flow shifting earlier. And so in other words, that that best are back in the question that the current install, the facility may or may not was equipped to handle this part. And then, so what do we need to plan for it? And then what kind of a lead time? We do have some lead time, so but we need to start thinking about what is the adaptation strategy that we can actually do.
Yeah, that's quite spread there.
Yeah, so it was the funny part for this particular basin is that it's in some other basin that the total volume of the water will also change.
Right.
In this particular basin, the volume of water doesn't change much, but the seasonality changed a lot because of the snowmelt basin. Mm-hmm. And so that actually affect a lot of how you use water, how do you manage water, and so on and so forth. It's not like we have to face that type of things tomorrow, but it is that, you know, you need to start to thinking about it. What does that may mean?
So in the plan itself, it's very high level. What we have to support each of these elements, like the fire example that we showed, in that example, we have the characteristics at different elevations that, so like in the lower elevations, you don't see much of a change. When you get into the 3,000 and then above 5, that's where you're starting to see the change in runoff in the patterns. And so as a county, we need to prepare for that, particularly with our agricultural community, the economic viability of how we address that, particularly with the size of the large federal lands that we're dealing with. And so This provides a venue for you and us to talk to the federal entities to look for support on what we need to do to make our county sustainable.
And also, I think that also opened a little bit opportunity as well. If the increased temperature make this area, you may be more suitable to produce better product. Mm-hmm. For this. And so the value chain actually will shift, and then so there is a lot of the global effect associated with that. Yes.
I just kind of maybe get to this, but is the current demand in the general plan in balance with the supply?
The major that's a complicated question. So for those water agency, you guys are looking at the project demand and you actually can balance it. What's actually missing right now is that for the entire county, other those outside of the agency, that and basically we actually found that we cannot make a judgment whether or not you balance or not because okay. we couldn't even have the data. So we couldn't even find a credible data as to how people may be sure how many well run dry during the drought period. We literally just don't get those things. We wish we do, but we don't. And then the this is what is showing is actually in the long term in the capacity, not the near term general plan the projection. This is looking at the entire general plan and how that may be translate into the water supply and demand balance. So we do see a lot of the shortage and the other thing is that during the drought, that was actually the two circle down there. Of course, the drought period will be actually more 94, and then wet year it will be 56. Again, you wanted to look at the trend of this, not necessarily the specific number of it as well. And the so this is actually all those information, technical information, the science is all evolving side part of it. So that was a lot of a reason that we wanted to have the 5-year update so to keep everything fresh in our consideration and how we adjust our action in the long run. And then so the agency definitely cannot make this alone. So next page. So this is where the collaboration thing's coming from. And so and this is just give you a little bit example about how we delineate the roles and responsibility in the plan. The agency's role basically has there certain activity they will lead. For example, that the agency just finished signing the FASIO contract that only after 20 something years, right?
21.
And so that is a lead role, and then they also have a facilitation role, basically help people actually working together develop a common action. And there is a supporting role, is that basically that if they provide cheerleading, if you will, or the advocacy and then assistance as needed in that way. Apologize if this is really small. So this is just an example about the agency will have a type of the resources management strategy that agency has a very strong presence in this part. You see it on the right-hand side, there's a lot of lead. So this is basically looking at the long-term water supply. For example, CBP, the FASIO contract we just talked about. And then the agency was looking at secure additional water right now, to support the same purpose. And then the develop some other operation agreement that to help our operation flexibility take care of different areas as well. And then there are certain resource management strategy which the agency have very a little bit must reduce the role. This is, for example, the watershed management aspect of it. There is a lot of the better lead agency as the leads, but the agency have an interest to make something happen to facilitate this kind of approach, and so that we have a better strategy in terms of the Wi-Fi protections and some other part of it. This is an example of it. And then there are type of a strategy, basically it's a mix. Like this one is a stormwater resources management aspect of it. The agency is not an implementation agency, but the agency see that there is a role that he can actually help to provide additional value. So be basically like develop the West Slope Stormwater Resource Plan. And what that will do is make the West Slope, the identify the project eligible for the state grant, because that's a required plan as well. So those are the positioning things that we can do. So we define it as a collective responsibility, and then this is basically the principle we did with how we develop the plan and how we actually intend to implement in this particular matter. Because the everybody is mutually supporting, and then the collaboration, and then we can get a lot more things done. And then the and so that's pretty much it.
So we'll have the plan is actually available on our website. We'll have hard copies. We'll give them to the general manager probably Friday or Monday. So you guys can have your own copy. Hard copy. It's always, I like having something tangible. So so we'll have that available to you. We just had a little delay with our printing. So we're hoping to have it through the things work out.
Yeah, so this is just a prop that we have.
That's his copy. He gets a nice hard copy.
Yeah, so this will be, this is kind of, the reason we keep it small is basically that with this type of plan, if you have a really long plan, it's actually not very useful. Small, concise, they actually get a lot more read or actually attention in that way. So that's kind of what we try to accomplish.
Just one last question. The forum that you mentioned, is the forum online so that we can keep up with what's going on?
Yeah, as we go through, like we're working on the economic analysis on the agricultural by crop type throughout the county. So different ranges of crops. Once that study is developed, that'll be online, and we'll share that with you. And then that'll be integrated in the 5-year update when that comes up. But that's just an example. Yeah. So as we're going through different elements that are in that resource management strategy.
Yeah.
Sure.
And then we. I think Ken is also working on the upgrade their website, and so that is actually we can actually get a lot more information up there for that.
So you can download stuff.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for coming.
Great. Additional questions from board?
Yes. How's it looking with obtaining the water rights?
So, well, we just finished the Phase-EO for 2.5 weeks ago. We are. Gas pedal to the floor right now, working with ESA, Environmental Science Associates. So they are starting the environmental process right now. So we had some delays because we had to work out that rural ag demand factor. Because basically the project is, what is the demand in the county, and where is that water going to be put to use? Now we did dissolve the EDWAPA, the El Dorado Water and Power Authority, because now we're integrating some of those activities with the agencies on some of the demand and some of the resource strategies that we have. So out of that process, we've reintegrated the Georgetown demands back into where we need to put that water countywide. And so we're looking to manage that. So that process, we're just concluding this demand analysis for the rural ag and the updates to the municipal industrial with all the water purveyors and the other county areas. So that took a lot longer. It took us long to clean up the database with the county by parcel. Youngshin's shop helped us clean that out, working with planning to kind of get, so we all have the same data that we're working with and help them populate that. So there are all kinds of obstacles to get us to that, so that as we spend that money and spend that time to develop it, we wanted to get it in a form that it could be used for subsequent efforts and other efforts, not just this one-hit wonder of we'll collect data and then we'll never use it again. We're looking at a way that we can do that. I'm a Taiwan, so I like to maximize my buck. So, yeah.
And the Ag Economic Feasibility Study is actually fascinating if you actually have not heard about that. We actually brought an economist. Not necessarily only look at is what we will can do in this particular county, what the general plan allow. We also look at what's the market out there, And then so we started looking at what type of crop is actually would generate more revenues and then so on and so forth, and how that may be suitable in terms of the agriculture engineering aspect, how the suitability, how they match together. It's actually fascinating. So tomorrow night, right?
Yeah, tomorrow night.
Tomorrow evening, there's actually a presentation to the Ag Commissioner on that particular one. And then when we actually start to develop this, getting more organized, we'll actually have additional this type of presentation that will come.
So with that, on the Ag, we start out with 101,000 acres parcels in the county of developable ag. Well, part of the economic analysis was looking at exposure, slope, soil types, a bunch of parameters that would say, well, as we go for the water rights, this area really, we really can't produce that in that area. So we had to kind of net a bunch of parcels out of there, and you know, we're down to, you know, 40, less than 50,000 acres of developable rural ag in the county. So there's something more believable that would support a water right application. So that's the kind of work that we're working on with the Ag Commissioner and the Planning Department. So.
Is the meeting tomorrow evening, is it open to the public?
Yep.
At the Ag Commissioner's office or
yes.
The board chambers?
At the...
I'm just following
the schedule that Julianne picks for me. County Board of Supervisors meeting room. 6:30.
Thank you.
Any additional comments?
No, it's exciting stuff, and it's pertinent to not only the county, but a lot of the work we do here.
Absolutely.
Thank you for
sure. Can't underestimate the appreciation and the support we have.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Is marijuana ag being factored into this?
No, we're looking at other top crop types based off water demand. So water demand factors, and crops like the marijuana crop would be included in some of those factors. But we're not looking at that directly politically, regulatory-wise. There's reasons why we can't. So, but we're factoring water demand factors into that too.
As a 70-plus year resident of California, it's been my experience that Northern California is the source and Southern California is the user. Mm-hmm. And so I guess my question to you guys, because I appreciate what you're doing and I think it's the right approach, is what credibility, what influence, and what power do you have to drive some of the needs, not only of the county, but to prevent things like the pipeline from, you know, downriver in Sacramento that would basically wipe out all the farmland of the islands down in the Delta, which nobody seemed to care about except for the farmers,
yeah.
And as long as LA got their added share of water. So I guess my question is, I think you guys are doing a good thing. Do we have the influence to put the roadblock up to some of the things that the state seems to be focused on?
Well, it's not just state, it's federal. So coming from the valley and some of the areas of the area all over the place, coming up here and looking at how we approach our projects, we've historically kind of kept to ourselves when we do this kind of planning. So this change of culture, one of these plans and putting resource plans together, help us align ourselves with some of the state staff and some of the federal staff that we need to get them on board and coordinating with. I mean, that's the primary reason we got the FASO contract, is because we changed how we approached the need for that water. It wasn't just us, but it was we looked at it on a federal perspective. And so all of a sudden they were fast-tracking it through so that we could get that right. So we can't do things by ourselves. You know, as you know, the state's big, there are other influences, so we have to coordinate with them. So, you know, I'm not saying I'm the best coordinator for federal or state anything, but I think we have the right people. Our board has allowed us to hire the lobbyist. That money is hard to account for, but you can't play the game unless you have the players in the room with them. So that kind of support we needed to have, and that's made a difference for us to be able to get it in the door. So
the County Board of Supervisors is wholeheartedly in on this one?
Yeah, we've had a big support for them, our water agency board, and across the board. So We've aligned ourselves with regional partners of outside the region down in the Lower American River because that's necessary, because we need their support. Attention politically, you know, we're at best we're 180,000 as a county. That's not a lot of votes. So we took a perspective of expanding into a regional project, a regional perspective, because that's a million votes. So we have to align ourselves with our regional partners. So that's kind of the different strategy.
Yeah, the Owens River Valley was about that size. That's a fun time.
Yeah. Well, and one of the things we've been doing too, and obviously, gentlemen, yeah. You guys are aware of this, through like mountain counties and whatnot too, exactly. Has been very proactive with working with Irvine Ranch and mm-hmm. East Bay Mud to bring them up here to actually see our resources and try to build a collaborative relationship, simple as. So,
we appreciate that too. Sure.
Okay, anything else?
Is it a general consensus that the state's in a drought, perpetual drought? It's always been the way it's been, and it's sort of, I mean, we had the wettest winter that we had since 1909, and it seems to be more of a water storage problem than a supply problem.
It is the system actually getting flashier, so it is. It just the variability started getting bigger and bigger. Mm-hmm. And so the 2012 to 2016, that particular drought, it actually is very persistent drought and also is a very severe drought. It broke the record of the 1977 mm-hmm. as well. And so, and then as you know that you follow by no, very wet year. So we see this oscillation there getting bigger and bigger, and you would need all the different water management strategy in order to weather it. So it's not a one that's better than the other anymore. You kind of need them all. It's just that how you implement that, how you progress, you know, the very different matter together.
That's a hard question to answer.
Okay. Thank you again.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Very much.
Thank you.
Yep.
We're gonna run.
Sure.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. We'll move on to item number 5 via consent calendar. Any board member can pull an item from consent. I'm going to pull myself item 5A1 from consent. And if any other board member have any items that they would like to pull.
So I'm going to pull 5A2 and 5B2.
5A2 and 5B2?
Yes.
Okay. Anyone else? Director Garcia? Okay. So then I will entertain a motion to approve the balance of the consent calendar, which consists of items 5A3, items 5B1, and then item 5C.
Motion's okay.
Okay, thank you.
I'll second that.
Second. Roll call when you're ready, please.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Director Halpin?
Aye.
Director Souza?
Aye.
Director Saunders?
Aye.
Director Wadley?
Aye. Okay, so item 5A1, special meeting of September 19th. My comments on this, reason I pulled it, is there were some inaccuracies in the, this is page 3 of 5, on some of the statements that were made. Well, just some of, there's just inaccuracies. I'm not sure if it's a recording or what was said or couple of omissions to it, so do you want me to go through these, or do you want to bring them back?
As staff, I will make, I guess, two comments. One is, I think it was really hard to go through this with the amount of comment there was, and to try and capture everything is really, really challenging. And I think, as the board, I'll just say this so the board knows, is that the minutes are supposed to be action-oriented. And so, you know, my, as staff, my direction kind of inclination always is to cut them down to, you know, trying to just say, there was public comment, and here is the motion, here's the vote. You're just trying to kind of keep it very succinct. This one got a little bit more. I think we were trying to capture the tone of things and some comments, and so that's one thing I wanted to say. So, you know, that's kind of at the board direction. We're trying to follow the board's past experiences and direction with minutes. So, I think from that perspective, I think it's good if the board gives specific comments on exactly what they want changed. If they are your minutes.
Okay. Well, I so, just as a
and, or exactly, and if there's direction, I'm like, this comment specifically, I don't think is accurate, or I'm not sure if that's exactly what was said, or what was said was inaccurate. Give us that feedback, and we'll have to go. We can go back and listen to the recording again and make changes if that's necessary. But okay. It does take a lot of staff time to go through the recording and capture these minutes the way they are captured right now.
Right. No, I mean, I agree. I think it should be more of a just a summary of what happened for all the reasons you stated. Obviously, I mean, we pay for someone to do these minutes and go through that, and this one must have taken a while to do so. But I think where we are right now, I don't know if there's a consensus amongst the board to actually go to that format. And so therefore, if there isn't, then there are certainly things, like I said, in here that I'm concerned about, and I would like to see captured correctly, at least from my point of view. The first would be, again, the public comment where it said Finance Committee Waltz wanted to make his role known, say that he received a voicemail from Director Wadley and he wanted to remove him from the Finance Committee. That I never called Mr. Waltz, so I don't know why that part's in there. Secondly, a little bit further down on that page, it says a resident of Garden Valley who didn't identify herself. First of all, I believe she did. Her name is Claudia something. Reference a board policy, yada, yada, yada. She complained about Director Halpin and et cetera. But what she furthermore needs to say, or what she said, and what should be on there, is that I do not put items on the agenda, or insinuate I didn't put items on the agenda because Director Saunders is African-American and Director Garcia is a woman. So that definitely happened. Always feel it should be called out when someone's, you know, calling me a racist and a sexist. So I'd like that in there as well. And then finally, this thing I noticed is at the bottom of that page, Carolyn Loomis. It's she said obviously not from Georgetown. So those were the things that stood out to me that I would like addressed. So any additional comments on those, on that? Okay. So you want to just bring those back then? We'll bring those back for next time.
If the board's okay with that, council will review those items and bring back revised minutes.
Okay. Thank you. So the next item.
Can I make a comment?
Sure, it's public comment. Sure.
You're doing September 19th, correct?
That's correct. 5A1.
So on 5-3, under public forum, but just my last name has an O-N on it.
Yeah, I got that.
Okay.
Even though my email says that.
Okay. So with that, we'll move along to 5A2. Dr. Saunders.
So the first problem I have is on page 2 of 8, where it says consent calendar. It has the items that are to be pulled, but it doesn't actually have the items still in there. So, following up on the meeting minutes, you can't tell what was approved on.
Sorry, can you?
Under consent calendar.
Kelly, like, pay attention. I'm not sure. I'm not following. So
see, under consent calendar, it doesn't have the items, so we don't know what 5A is, 5B. Those items aren't listed there. So.
Oh, I see.
A1.
Okay.
The ones that were actually adopted. Got it.
Okay.
Well, it's below in the bold.
It doesn't list the
items. It doesn't list
the
what
items.
Items are. So if we approve people.
Before you move on to that, on page 3, Kelly, there's a typo on the second to last paragraph. The date in the last part of that paragraph, it says 9:05:30. It should be 8:10:19, so that it's just a typo on the date. And you can tell because it's the same date on the attachment. It's 8:10:19. It's page 3 of 8. just a typo.
We're looking at page 3.
Which, I'm sorry, I don't
page
see where
you're looking. Page 3 of 8, it should say 6 informational items, this date, at the
okay.
bottom of the first paragraph under 6A board reports. This
okay.
date that's 2019-05-30.
Right.
It should be 8-10 of 19.
Okay.
And it does say attached, and the item is attached, and the date on the attachment is 8.
Okay.
10 of 19, so it's just a typo.
Okay, I'll look. Thank you.
Sorry, Mike.
That's all right. And then page 5 of 8. At the top, we got Saunders. We write, thank Mr. Sanders for his work. Mm-hmm. And after that, it's also especially to thank Gloria for her work with the ribbon cutting ceremony. So.
Okay.
We just left her out of there. Although we appreciate your work, George, but
Gloria did.
Gloria did a lot of work.
Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. That's all I had for that.
Okay. So then we'll bring those ones back.
Oh, I got one more.
Do you have a public comment? Sure.
Yeah. Okay. On 5, what is that? She spelled Steve Dowd's name wrong. She's got down, but it should be D on the end. Oh, there it is, on page 4 of 8, second paragraph on the bottom. It's D-O-W-D.
D-O-W-D.
Yeah, I fixed this
bottom. Oh, okay. It was probably spell check.
Could be clown, but
it probably
D-O-W-D. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Anyone else?
Wow.
Seeing none, so we will move on to item 5B2. Comments on that, please?
I just know we have some items there which covered the Tyler technology update, so if we can just update on the server and the license fees and any changes that occurred.
What page is that?
So the server stuff would be covered under USB. Page 12, the computers, and then the contract with Tyler, the two license fees for $30,000, just to go over what those were.
So the server had to be updated in order to be able to download all of the software. There hasn't been any trainings yet. We had to get the server in place before they would schedule any meetings to come out and do any kind of training, any kind of moving forward in obtaining our modules that are specific to us. We do have it scheduled for the week of December 2nd. They're going to be coming out and doing a site evaluation to kind of get things rolling. And as a part of our contract, that licensing fee, as soon as they sent us all of the software, we then had to pay a percentage of that licensing fee. So that's what that is.
I think it's 20% of the contract. I went over this with the checks, but just so public, so it's out there, so I don't get any more. Everybody is aware of it.
So just for further clarification, Christina, when there's two amounts here for the same amount, did we purchase two servers?
No, it's split in between two different funds or two different departments.
Okay.
So it's just the total amount is split between the different departments because the software is for admin use as well as customer service.
Okay, so that total amount includes a server plus a software.
I don't even know what you're looking at.
Page 12. Yes. That Director Saunders was referred to. We're looking at check 30475.
Okay, so that's the server. If you're looking at the USB, that is only the server.
Okay.
So the Tyler, which would be, it's TYL01, or I'm sure. Tyler is completely different. That's for just the software.
Okay.
So the server and software are two completely different things.
Okay. But again, just for clarification, so that the two different, the one line item for this check, the same check number, you just split it out just because it's going to two different departments, correct?
Correct.
Okay, thanks.
Can I ask a clarifying question? So, because I know
it's one server, it was just the funds.
Are you sure it's split? Because I know James also did some work at the treatment plant to move the computer equipment into the secure room and put some racks in there.
Right, that's a
good amount.
So the server's the two items at the bottom. Anything else, Carnahan, has nothing to do with the server.
Where is the one for the treatment plant?
Is that the one right above, Steve? Just above where it's Carnahan is the $1,300?
No,
that one's
on page 12.
That one's the laptop. There's one that says racks and mounts. That's for that. That's so the Tyler Technologies one is on page at the bottom of page 8, and where's the other one? That's the license increase.
Mm-hmm. I'm just asking for clarification. I see on page 12 there's three different item listings for Carnahan computer, right?
The two at the bottom are the server.
Okay.
And then the other one, I couldn't tell you what the other one is.
The laptop is what he's... 11-6. But there's another one.
There's another one. So there's something besides that. There's one that was specific for the ALT treatment plant.
That's on page 9.
I want to make sure we're just...
30447. That's the one for... that's the one for the wall mounts, cords, and cables.
Okay.
Page 9. Carnahan wall mounts. Got it. Okay.
Stephen, that's for AOT?
Yes.
Thank you.
I just want to make sure that we're really clear on what those are for, because that detail is not when they're provided in the packet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, and before we move on, Stephen, question for you, actually Christina as well. We can go back to page 2 of 3 of the original breakdown for the cash balances. If you look at fund 40, the payroll compared to last month's really dropped. We've gone from 7,000, 11,000, 23,000, 26,000, now down to 6,000 for payroll.
Sorry, can we? I don't know where we're at.
We're going back to B1.
Oh, B1.
Oh, B1? Did I pull wrong?
That's B1 is...
Yep, never mind.
Yep.
I'll ask you later.
Okay. Because I think I know where we're going, and I think we had an email exchange about that at one point. So,
okay. All right. So then I guess, I'll entertain a motion on item 5B2. Questions or answer? Do you approve that?
Yep. All right. So the motion to approve, B2.
I'll second that.
Okay. Can we roll call when you're ready, please?
Director Garcia.
Aye.
Director Halpin.
Aye.
Director Saunders.
Aye.
Director Souza.
Aye.
Director Wadley.
Aye. Thank you. Okay, so let's go on to item 6, informational items, board reports. I'll start with the left. Director Souza, anything that you'd like to mention or add?
I have nothing.
Okay. Director Saunders?
I attended October 30th to November 1st, the Calapa Annual Conference, and in the report next month, you can look at the packet. I'll have my report, which describes what LAFCO does. Basically, the big things that correspond with us is our regional meeting concerns dealt with the wildfires, fire insurance, the fire districts, and public safety power shutoffs. And one of the constant themes throughout the conference was the growing need for monitoring our resource of water and all of the upcoming legislation that's going to deal with the water conservation bills and the governor's water portfolio. And November 8th, Friday, we went to the Mountain County Water Symposium in Auburn, and myself, the GM, and Dave Sousa attended. And legislation updates were provided by representatives from the Department of Water Resources and the State Water Resource Control Board.
And those are the two organizations which are putting on the workshop to go over the guidelines and regulations. That's going to be given to the regulators in January, so Steve and I were able to ask them some direct questions. And other than that, it was a pretty good conference. Once again, it was number three in a series to top off all of the importance of maintaining the watershed and dealing with wildfires in this area, so it's just an important topic that we have to deal with.
Great. Thank you. Richard Halpin, anything you'd like to add?
No, I'm fine.
Richard Garcia?
Just one item to remind everybody that we have another town hall meeting coming up on Saturday, the 23rd of November, the Historic Pool Hall. We'll be providing a free Thanksgiving feast, and festivities will kick off at 1 p.m. and run to about 4 p.m. So everybody's welcome.
Okay. Thank you. I'll give a few updates myself. I attended the LAPCO conference, like Director Saunders, in my professional capacity. I think, to me, one of the main takeaways was the importance of districts continuing to be involved in LAFCO. They don't always speak highly of us, to put it mildly. So I think it's, like I said, enough said there to continue to be active there. I attended a local workshop which focused on grants for districts of all types, and kind of how to get them, and talked to some consultants who help districts get grants. So I'll forward some information along to the general manager. I know that's important to our board and obviously to our community. Along with Director Garcia, we attended the chamber event, chamber mixer last week, gave an update on some of the things that we'll be doing there. I attended the Rotary dinner on Saturday night here locally, which was quite a good event. Staff was there as well too, so that was a good event. And then finally, and I emailed the general manager about this, but the and Steve, you may have to help me out on this, but the governor, in response to the whole power shutoff thing, has allocated about $75 million to local agencies, cities and counties directly. Unfortunately, districts were left out of that as well, for kind of dealing with the aftermaths of the power, the power service shutoff. And each county is getting funds for that. As I said, districts can basically petition the county or ask for some of that money to be, given to us for, our impacts, generators, that type of thing for the power shutoff. So, again, I communicated that with Steve, and I think it's important that we follow up with our county folks about trying to access some of that money, because we, of course, have impacts just like they do from the PG&E shutoffs. So, those are the main things I want to touch on. Let's see. Let's move along to item 6B, General Manager's Report. Steve?
To add my own two cents on the Mountain County Symposium, I think it's a good example of the agency is really trying to get water agencies, or help water agencies in more urban areas, see what the watersheds are like here and what our job is like. And I think President Wiley mentioned that earlier. So that's John Kingsbury, whether he's the executive director, that seems to be his goal. And they started with this approach of it's north and south, and that was like the north-south conference and trying to get us together. But really, with this one, I think you saw a shift in that theme from north-south to more just, let's all take ownership of the watersheds. And his big goal, I believe, is to try and help us get resources from these urban areas to manage the watersheds. And so when we try and do this and to try and keep them involved and let them know, we'll see how those things come about.
Steve Lamar, who's running for president of AQUA, was at one of the events that we went recently up Mountain County. So you're down the confluence with all of us. And yeah. Talk, point out something to him about that. So, good to see you.
Yeah, sorry. So then I'll just bring my written report. On the projects list, I'll just highlight a couple. The treated waterline replacement project is just about complete. I think actually it's complete except for only a hydrant that we're waiting for it to be delivered. And so you'll likely see that notice of completion on the next board agenda. And then the main canal reliability project, this is the lining of the canal just behind Marvell over there. The board did award the contract at the October meeting. Those contracts have now been completely executed, and We're working on scheduling a pre-construction meeting now to kick those guys off. We're trying to get them underway on that project. And then skipping down to upcoming items there, you can just see from November today's today's meeting that those are the list of items that, that from my task list that we're bringing forward today, including the RFP for public outreach again, and then a look ahead to what we're trying to get for December. The first two require finance committee input, which we already have for the lockup policy update. And then we're trying to bring them a draft investment policy at their next meeting. May or may not be successful in getting that together in time, but certainly they will see it before we bring it to the board. And then we're anticipating notice of completion for our Lone Trail to our treatment plant project, which George will cover in his project update. The personnel manual is finally nearing the end of a long, long process that spanned multiple general managers to get adopted. So I'm hoping that's been circulated to the employee units, and I'm hoping to have that back to the board for approval at the December meeting. And then lastly for December, a big one for me is a professional services agreement with the engineering project manager. Trying to get project manager on board to deliver all the projects listed up above in my GM report. So all these things we want to do, all these improvements we want to make, I need someone to help manage those projects. And this is at the board's direction. We're doing a contract staff, so look to see something in the future, hopefully December. I'm currently negotiating with the highest ranked consultant, see if we can come to terms on some kind of agreement to help us out with that work. So that is my report. I'm available for questions.
Do you have any update on the cost for the power shutoff?
I do not. We are tracking it. I can get that for you. I don't have it summarized yet.
Tying in with Dane because I have the same stuff.
That can use. We set aside a task so that we can book our charge there. And, I don't have it. All right, now. Anything else?
Just a couple questions. When do you anticipate having your first two items listed actually finished?
Which one of those?
The automated meter reading. Both of these have been showing up on your monthly manager's report for a while. It seems like it's just slow and steady progress. So I'm just wondering if you have a completion date in mind.
Adam's here, so I'll have him answer the first one.
Yeah, the automated meter, it's in the state's hands right now, reviewing our application. So we're kind of at the mercy of them. It can take some time. We hope, fall we should have an answer. We'd be able to actually move forward by spring, move forward by then. Yeah, should hopefully have an answer by the end of the year. So, we need to revise application or anything, but follow up with him every couple weeks, see where he's at. Still a review process.
And then irrigation ordinance update, I'll handle that one. We've done the workshops, including the getting direction from the board on it, and the recollection is the direction was pretty minor on updates, except for the idea of trying to have a multi-year contract with people. That was the one that required significant work, and now I've been reviewing that with people at Barbara's firm. We're probably not in a position to give an update right now. I don't know that she's up to speed on that. I don't want to put her on the spot. But that's on my plate to bring it back. And I don't think anything's going to happen before this next season, but we can. I don't have time for anymore. That's the short answer.
Okay. And I have the same kind of question based on timelines for the office in the corporate building, the roof repairs. Are you going to try to get that situated before the rainy season starts, or what's the timeline on that one?
That's another one. Just without having a project manager, it's really hard for me to work on these. We're relying on operations staff and a general manager to deliver capital projects. And it's challenging to get through those things with all the other things we do on a daily basis.
Okay. And the same question marks then, too, for rebuild filters at Walton Lake Treatment Plant.
That one we would start normally in the springtime anyway. All right, Daryl?
Winter, spring. Don't need all the filters.
Right. So that one's not, I think, and that one Marty generally can run by himself. So that one, operations, that's one operations staff can handle. And I don't anticipate any delay in getting that done, other than we're just waiting for the right time of year. The other ones on there, the reservoir stream gauging, that one, your contract is here today for your review. Inlet tanker coating is another one we generally can run with in-house staff. I think this year I want to get that project manager on board to do it, to help us with that one too. I think it's a lot of work that they're all running that project. But that, we're on schedule for spring of 2020. The backup generator, we're still trying to work on your permit. I know, Daryl, I don't know if you want to give an update on that.
The generator? The
generator, yeah.
Well, the biggest problem we're having is all the electricians are so busy wiring generators everywhere. The ones that will do it don't have any time to come to it. We did get one bid. It was higher than we budgeted for. And I contacted another electrician who wants to come out this week. So I'm trying to, they're just super busy.
Okay. And then the second page there, you can see, and I think I actually have it in writing, those are the ones that, those projects I can't even start until I get either a contract with an engineering project manager or we hire a project manager. So those just are they're just on hold until we can find some help.
Okay, and I noticed that with the exception of the upcountry ditch rehabilitation, these others, I'm a little concerned that when we get to the handout that Mike put together, that looks like we might be a little bit over budget. I'm concerned that we can't hire until we have that revised CIP that you're working on, so we can take a look at how we're gonna, how and where you want to make adjustments to what projects can be done with the money we have in.
Okay.
In the district. So it's a good thing you're gonna, in a way, put those on hold right now. And in fact, are you making progress on that revised CIP?
I don't know what you're, oh, to the finance committee? Based on the discussion we had last meeting? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because we've got some adopted budget projects that the estimates and the actuals that are coming in sometimes are a little bit lower. One of them is, you know, like more than twice the price, which kind of kicked us over the approved budget amount. So until it's revised and we know which ones, you know, priority and...
Yeah, we have a plan. We have a plan that I'll present to the finance committee, yes.
Okay. Okay, good. Thank you.
Okay. The only thing for me, I just wanted to glad to see that the investment policy is coming closer to fruition, having been on the finance committee when the last one was done in 2016. It's something I know that we're supposed to do annually. Appreciate that you driving that one forward, and obviously the finance committee's help on that as well to get that updated and brought to us and improved so we're all in compliance and see what we can do. So. Any public comments? Sure.
To Daryl, is there a particular reason why the bid wasn't put on the website?
Which bid?
For the generator.
We wouldn't put bids on the website. You mean that you're talking about going and getting bids?
Yeah.
No,
that's not.
No, I didn't have any plan on putting it on there unless we need to go do an RFP. I wasn't doing an RFP, a request for bids.
Okay.
We're just looking for an electrician to come wire it up for us.
Because you keep saying bids and stuff, so I thought it would have to be fall under the procurement policy.
It's all informal for the procurement policy, right?
It's in the procurement policy. Mm-hmm. Right. So. Okay. Anyone else? All right. Item 6C, Operations Manager Report. Daryl, Adam.
Everybody's just been staying busy. Leaks have slowed down a little. Shouldn't say that too loud. Power outages were fun, just at our pump stations. We borrowed a couple generators from EID, had to drive over there. It was hard to find generators, and finally you knew somebody over there or contacted somebody, and then I got a call one morning, you need some generators, because their power had come back on, so they didn't need them anymore. And we drove over and got them. We were able to use one of them, hook it up to a pump station. Came in handy, been thinking about that for future events, because we have a couple different pump stations where people don't have water, you know, when the power's out. So we're trying to figure out how to take care of that. It's kind of expensive just to buy a generator just to sit there for most of the time that'll never get used. And it's, the system's been here for 50 years-ish, 45, 50 years, and never had a generator on those pump stations. So anyway, that was fun. Not really fun, it was horrible actually. Working in this office was horrible. I can't wait till we get a generator here. But anyway, things are going well. We installed we have a small storage tank on the end of Black Ridge Road. We used the power outage. We were gonna do it anyway, but it worked great to get it done during the power outage because there was no power to pump water up to it anyway. So we got that replaced and done. Our guys are doing a ton of work right now up country. Well, actually everywhere, because that windstorm that one Sunday was just, as everyone witnessed, it was horrible. We had trees go down over the ditches all over the place. Up country was a disaster. Not only did they get all the trees cleared out of the roads and the ditches, they've almost cleared the whole canal. I didn't even told Steve this. We've had a bunch of our crew up there for the last month just trying to clear that whole canal in case we get another big snow, hopefully, like last year.